Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of a heart. Whenever this verse boomed off the walls of this auditorium, it caused those gathered to rivet their attention upon this pulpit in anticipation of yet another dynamic presentation of biblical truth from the man we memorialize this morning. Thousands of classes were introduced with this verse over the course of Robert B. Thiem Jr.'s 53-year ministry at Baraka Church. Genetics provided him with the voice. God provided him with a message. It was the voice that first captured one's interest. It was the flair of his personality that solicited concentration. It was the content of the message that won positive response. It was in this place that the treasures of wisdom and knowledge were revealed through his dedicated study of the Word of God. Accolades have engulfed the offices of this church in remembrance of the Colonel. They express how much he meant to so many whose lives were changed by his ministry. Great encomiums could be delivered on his behalf by a host of admirers. Yet it would be his desire that not too much be made over him. He always gave credit to the Holy Spirit, who empowered his pulpit persona and engendered his private persona. The two were different, and there were good reasons for it. First of all, his pulpit persona was a reflection of how earnestly he took his mandate to communicate the Word of God with clarity and with accuracy. Another verse that introduced his classes documents this imperative. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. These were the Colonel's marching orders. He took them seriously. He also believed that anyone who had placed his faith in Jesus Christ was under orders to grow in grace and in the knowledge of his Lord and Savior. Therefore, his study schedule was rigorous. His teaching schedule was grueling because his mandate was study and teach. When he mounted this pulpit, he considered himself nothing more than an ordinary man, honored by God with a spiritual gift of communication, and he took the assignment to heart. The incredible result was a pulpit personality that complemented the authority of the message. It attracted many who recognized the importance of paying proper respect to the teaching of the Bible. Some were taken aback, possibly for a couple of reasons. Maybe the Colonel was not their right pastor. Maybe the truths of Scripture were too demanding. Yet he made no apology for insisting that proper esteem be paid to the Word of God. His private persona reflected old school genteel courtesy. His manners were impeccable. He was kind, considerate, and polite. He was a gentleman who had a great sense of humor, and his laughter would fill up a room. Grace Doctrine Church was honored to host 10 of the Colonel's Bible conferences in St. Louis. And each evening he would take his meals at the home of our church's board chairman. And I remember on one occasion the Colonel decided to read a humorous newspaper article about an accident-prone ship that during World War II accidentally fired on a vessel carrying President Franklin Roosevelt. The writer's style in relating the story got the Colonel to laughing. And when he got really tickled, his eyes would close to a squint and tears rolled down his face. And those attending the dinner were in hysterics, both over the article and the Colonel's valiant attempt to read it over his own laughter. Well, we'll miss that, won't we? We'll miss the grand times we had here at Baraka, hearing that captivating, stentorian voice extol messages that enabled us to grow in grace, to learn God's plan, to increase our inventory of ideas night after night. week after week, month after month, decade after decade, came Holy Spirit-inspired studies of the Word of God. And so we gather to celebrate the life of a devoted pastor to this congregation, a loyal and loving husband to his wife, Mrs. Betty Thieme, and a proud father and mentor to his son, Bobby. We celebrate because we know from Scripture that last Sunday night, even though his body remained here on earth, his soul and spirit were transferred immediately into the eternal state, absent from the body, face to face with the Lord. The word celebrate does not imply that this isn't a time of sorrow, but sorrow is a human emotion that is natural for those who are left behind by a loved one's departure to be with the Lord. It is the result of a sudden realization that there can never again be a time of earthly fellowship, companionship, or rapport. And even though sorrow and grief are legitimate emotions, they do not overwhelm those who have placed their trust in Christ. Colonel Thieme leaves behind a heroine of grace. Mrs. Thieme, I know from personal experience that one of the greatest blessings a pastor can have is a grace-oriented wife devoted to the duty of enabling him to study and teach. The part you played in your husband's ministry is your invisible historical impact, details of which are unknown to us, but the proof of which is evident in the Colonel's success as pastor of this church. We salute you today, and we thank you for a job well done. The Colonel leaves behind a champion of truth. Bobby, you thrilled your father with your honorable service in the United States Army. He was proud of your distinguished academic achievements at university and seminary. He was honored to pass the colors over to you as pastor of Baraka Church, after which he referred to you as my pastor. You have an enviable legacy, but you have already demonstrated that you are up to the challenge. You rightly miss this man, but you carry in your soul the principles of integrity that will enable you to continue the standard of excellence that your father established. Our prayer for you and for Mrs. Thieme is that your grief will be tempered by memories of good times past, and that the sorrow of his absence will be soon replaced by the joyous expectation of the promised future reunion. David wrote in Psalm 23 about the death-shadowed valley. This is the believer's last stage of life here on this earth. It can only last a second, or it can go on for years. But the thing that lights the way, if the way is to be lit, is what the believer has in his soul. If he has learned nothing about the grace and love of God, if he's learned nothing about God's plan and his place in it, then the darkness of fear, dread, and panic, accompanied by doubt, anger, and bitterness, prevent him from enjoying dying grace. The believer who is prepared knows all about the circumstances that are involved in death. He has a soul armored with confidence and courage. The confidence that he has eternal life and will go to heaven when he dies gives him the courage to live the remainder of his life with tranquility of soul so that he can continue to serve the Lord. The interesting thing about the Colonel's ride down the valley was that although Alzheimer's gradually robbed him of his memory, he never lost his love for the Lord. He possessed true happiness. He was content. He remained always the exquisite gentleman, and he enjoyed life to the very end. Doctrine never abandons the mature believer. Having transformed the soul into a vessel of honor, the personality of the individual enjoys permanent peace with God. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 100, worship the Lord with superabundance of happiness. And this the colonel did, and because of it, he died happy. What he possessed is what any believer can possess if he devotes himself to a consistent, ongoing study of the Word. And so I pose the question, are you happy? True happiness is an inner resource developed from maximum doctrine resident in the soul and is so advanced in its grace orientation to the plan of God that all aspects of life are evaluated in the light of eternity. Consequently, true happiness is that unique possession of the mature believer through which he shares the happiness of God. This kind of happiness is only available to believers, but it cannot be developed unless they place themselves under the ministry of a prepared pastor. For the pastor to be prepared, he must be proficient in the process and procedure of analyzing Scripture from its original languages of Hebrew and Greek. And one of the colonel's emphases at Dallas Theological Seminary was textual criticism, the process of studying biblical manuscripts whose original autographs are lost. But before engaging in this analysis, one must know in what language the manuscripts were written. It is obvious that the New Testament is written in Greek, but until the late 19th century, it was assumed by theologians that the form of Greek utilized was a special language inspired by the Holy Spirit. And when it was later determined that this was not the case, some theologians concluded that the Holy Spirit had inspired the writers to use classical Attic Greek, while others thought it was a biblical Greek dominated by Hebrew modes of expression. And as a result, translations of Scripture were developed by referring to what the grammar and vocabulary of these two sources required. In the late 1800s, the research of three men, Adolf Deismann, William Moulton, and A.T. Robertson, removed all doubt by discovering the New Testament was written in the common Greek spoken in the first century Roman Empire. It was not until the early 20th century that application of this discovery became fully established among Protestant theologians. One man in particular came to realize that an accurate translation of the New Testament required a fluent understanding of this common language known as Koine Greek. This motivated Lewis Sperry Chafer to found Dallas Theological Seminary, where instruction in Koine Greek, as well as Hebrew, was a required subject. Those who graduated from Dallas were the most thoroughly prepared pastors since the Reformation, having been trained in Koine-based biblical analysis. Among these stellar graduates was Robert B. Thiem, Jr., and few, if any, biblical scholars of the 20th century exploited his knowledge of the Koine Greek as thoroughly, as accurately, and as effectively as he did. Upon his graduation from Dallas, Dr. Chafer told the colonel and his few fellow classmates that he had taught them all he had been able to discover in his years as a pastor and a professor. He then challenged them to take their knowledge of systematic theology, textual criticism, and the languages and continue the advance. I submit that the one who met Dr. Chafer's challenge to the greatest degree was the colonel. No one delved into the Koine with greater expertise and precision. His literal, grammatical, historical exposition of the New Testament set the standard for pastors throughout this country and even the world. His protégés ordained around this pulpit subscribed to this system of hermeneutics, and some have remained faithful to it. He set the standard, and others are now obligated to follow. Our dear colonel has now departed to be with the Lord. He is now assembled with the Jeshurun believers of the church age, and his absence leaves a tremendous void in this client nation's pivot. The resultant brain drain of doctrine will be hard to replace. Ergo, doctrinal pastors must redouble their efforts under the mandate to study and teach, and their respective sheep must intensify their interest in learning the divine message. you have come here today to give the colonel a final salute. The window of opportunity for this is going to close in a few minutes. So what then? I urgently recommend that we must all go beyond the paying of respects. The best way we can show gratitude for this man, for all he has done to change the lives of each one of us, is to make Bible doctrine priority one. For everyone who has been given much, much will be required. I'd like to close by offering a poetic toast to the colonel that I've entitled Call to Quarters. Through the stormy winds of cosmic chaos, he faithfully guided us through the night. He showed us how with clarity to think, by exposing scriptures revealing light. His intrepidity gave us courage. Pursuing victory, we ere forward trod. That voice, his words, the proclamations brought truths to mind from the Word of God. Nightly, he led the battalion forward. A gallant knight, steely-eyed and blade straight, stood before the gathered hungering throng, laying waste to the lie with truth's debate. Half century, this advance continued as thousands fed at the banquet spread. Heathen saved, lives changed, souls renovated by the feast prepared for those he led. Suddenly, memory betrays recall. Words are trapped in a dendrite jumble. But with tranquility of soul, he rides the valley, lifting prayers to God, lucid and humble. Time blew his last tattoo and is dismissed. Angelic reveille sounds interim rest. He loyally has done his duty. To his Savior, he has done his best. Before the Lord, he stands promoted, a royal priest. He is allowed to come near. And as he salutes the Lord of the armies, his thoughts and memories are crystal clear. Years will pass by, and time will march onward as others seize the colors that he left behind. But know ye this, you'll ne'er be forgotten. Aye, Colonel, you will e'er be brought to mind. And whenever we face life's adversities and consider our lot most sorrowful, uplift your soul and remember the voice. The Word of God is alive and powerful.